Diva Spot Radio on the spot, on the grind.
Saturdays is another edition, man. I'm here, I'm live in the flesh. You already know, man. It's the Kid, Space Age, JJ, Biggs, whatever you call me. I got, like, so many government names and whatnot, so they can't keep up with me. My girl Diva is on the line. You know, bring her in real quick. Diva, you want to say something loud and proud?
What's going on, all my dimes and divas? You are now tuned in live with Space Age J on Step the Game Up Saturdays. Make sure you call him up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. Diva is just enjoying the show. I appreciate everything that J Biggs do because he's so hard and he's very organized. So we got to give that man a round of applause. Y'all make sure y'all call up and network with him today. We might even, after Jay Biggs does his thing, and because he is the host of the show, we might even call some business owners live on air. I got a couple of business cards in front of me. Let's see who's working today.
chat. We always working. We always down the network, you know. I wish I could find this louder, this little round of applause sound effect. You know what I mean? But, you know, I just pat myself on the back, you know, because that's just what
I mean,
it
you
is,
deserve
man.
A round of applause. You know, you work hard, and of course, big shout out to Buzz Calhoun, Flipstar's artist off of Paper Rock Records. He did come to Frontline Friday tonight. I mean, last night. It was just
last
a wonderful blessing having
yeah.
come through. Yeah, him and Spliff came through, and right now I'm in the studio editing the show and making sure we present a professional product. But that's what we do. We step our game up. Back to you,
Jake. Yeah, we ain't like them other stations, man, that just put you on there, just throw anybody on air, have you looking all whack and all out of, have your clothes looking wrinkled and all that on air and everything. We put you out there, make you look good, you know. So, you know, man, come over here and network us. Make sure you check out the new website, all new and improved Diva Spot website. Go ahead, give us some Diva, because I don't have my notes in front of me.
That's cool. Go to www.divaspotent.blogspot.com. Then a www.divaspotent.blogspot.com. Check out our heavy hitters list. We definitely check out our sponsors. Check out how to get interviewed, promoted, and spin on Step Your Game Up Saturdays and Frontline Fridays. Also, make sure you check out our poetry. Artists that we have on it over there, and our feature artists as well. So we got a lot of things going on. We are booking. We do have the packages available for every budget. So we definitely advise you guys to go to www.divaspotent.blogspot.com.
Yeah, tonight is such a special night, you know, for a number of reasons. You know, we're actually saluting our armed forces. That's anybody that's in the military. So like Diva said, if you got somebody in your family in the military, a family member, a friend, you want, you know, want to shout them out on air, we doing that all night tonight. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Boy Scouts, all that. We shouting them all out, you know. So call us up, like Diva said, you know the number, 347-850-1521. Tune in, you know, go on the site, matter of fact, you know, blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpotRadio, you know, and check out some of the shows we got. Check this show out, you know, we doing it, you know, we saluting everybody. Before I get into too far into the show and everything like that, I want to pay special homage to the victims of the tragedy that happened in the Boston Marathon. You know, I want to just take my hat off to them, give them a moment of silence real quick. Definitely. My heart's
Amen.
In prayer. My heart and prayers all go out to those people. You know, one of the perpetrators of the incident, I found out, you know, yesterday morning when I read the paper that he was, I believe he killed himself or something like that. It was just crazy. Like, you killed all these people, or you killed people and you injured all these other people, and then you just take your own life. Like, I don't know, man. It's the sad days and times, you know. We got to band together as a community, and we got to, you know, rise above the hate, you know. I hate to sound cliche, but that's just all we can really do about it. Tonight, you know, we got a special guest, Genius Music. I mean, Dag. Well, you know, DJ Genius, Genius Music, they synonymous with each other. But DJ Genius from Genius Music, CEO of Genius Music, is actually, you know, going to be on a little bit into the show. You know, we're going to bring him in. We're going to pick his brain a little bit. He's going to talk to us about, you know, what it's like, you know, balancing that family life with that work life. You know, how does that get down? You know what I mean? Because it's tough, you know, artists. I know a lot of us got kids and significant others and, you know, bills, everything, you know. So how do we balance all that and run the company at the same time, you know? So he's going to come in and talk about that, talk about a couple of things that's going on in his in his day-to-day, you know, a couple ventures he got popping off, you know. man, you know, it's crazy. I'm still thinking about the Boston situation, you know, and, like, I want to shout out to Carmelo Anthony for being a real classy dude, you know. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Carmelo Anthony. Everybody say when I play basketball, you know, I play kind of like Carmelo myself, you know. So, I mean, I just want to take my hat off to the dude for holding his, well, you know, his competitive spirit at least at bay a little bit, showing some support to the community of Boston, even though he gotta go see them Celtics and whatnot. You know, he was pretty classy dude, classy individual, despite the whole Kevin Garnett thing with the Cheerios, the honey roasted Cheerios, honey nut Cheerios, my fault. Despite all that, you know, he was a classy dude and still.
Wait a minute,
you know,
I got a question.
Yeah.
I need you to set my up. What happened? Because, you know, people don't follow basketball, but if you would please explain to me what happened with these two.
Well, you know, what happened was during the game, well, I put it like this. Kevin Garnett is the type of player that likes to sort of antagonize the person, get in the person's head. He plays a lot of psychological games with the person that he's playing against when he plays ball. So what happened was they were playing each other, and it was earlier in the season, and, you know, Kevin Garnett was kind of like getting in his head, talking about, you know, I had Lala, of course, is Carmelo Anthony White, so he was getting in his head, you know, I had Lala, you know,
oh, okay.
She tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios, yeah, and you know, he kind of went there with it, and of course, this was during the time where Carmelo and Lala was kind of beefing with each other, so, you know, it got real ugly, you know, Melo wanted to see him after the game and get physical with him, you know, kind of put hands on the boy Garnett. So, you know, despite all of that, they playing each other now in the playoffs and whatnot, number two versus a number seven, I think. And despite all of that, Melo is still, you know, showing his love and support to the community of Boston after this tragedy. So, you know, I take my hat off to that dude. That's a real class act of him. To feel like that, despite, you know, things that the general Boston community, generally, they don't get along with, like, New York, like the Knicks, you know, the Red Sox don't like the Yankees, that sort of thing. So I take
my
hat off.
Like he put a suit and tie on. I think he put a suit and tie on, and that's what you got to do sometimes. You got to step your game up and put your suit and tie on. Ladies, put your pumps and your black skirt on with your blouse on and just make the executive decision for the betterment of the whole team. So, big shout-out to Carmelo. That's definitely a good look. You know, he did respond in a different way, but sometimes you really have to take a look at the bigger picture and put your suit and tie on and keep it professional. So, that's a good thing.
Most definitely. Definitely. You know, I was watching earlier, I think early yesterday, I was watching the speech that Barack Obama, the president, had given to the community of Boston. It was a very, very touching speech. For those who missed it, I really implore you to go look for that and really seek that out and watch that, because it was real, I don't know, just something about how Barack be talking, like when he gives a speech. It's like you can feel the genuine, you know, sincerity he has in his voice when he talks. You know, it's not like when George W. gave that speech way after Katrina had hit. You know what I mean? You just feel like, oh, man, sit down, dog. I don't believe this. You know, Barack talks, and it's just like you believe it, and you feel what he's saying, and, you know, and it's cool. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to Barack Obama, you know, for you know, coming through, giving his little speech and everything. That was real touching and real moving for him to do that. I was definitely impressed with that.
You said big shout out to Rock for coming out and doing, giving a speech.
Definitely.
Is that what you said, King?
Yeah. Barack, you know, he gave the speech earlier. I believe it was Thursday. He gave the speech to the community of Boston. You know, kind of like hold your head, you know, we got to band together as a nation, and a lot of things he said, you know, his big driving point was we will run again, you know, as in reference to the Boston Marathon.
The president, that's what Barack has to do, you know, not to take nothing from Barack, you know, I love me some Barack Obama, but that's what the president is supposed to do. Anything that happens in the world, like the plant in Texas blew up, you know, a lot of people died there. The president has to come and give the people hope and motivation, and we need to be able to take you know, some points and take something from the president, just as well as when stuff like that happens in our community, whether good or bad. We need to be able to come together, talk with one another, comfort one another, encourage each other. And also, when things are going well in the community, we're supposed to spotlight those things like the president do. If we pick up some of the characteristics of the president, we will be a lot more better off as people, mothers, fathers, business owners, and Americans. That's important. And just to think, anytime anything goes wrong in this world right now, in the nation, guess who the first person I got to clean it up? The president.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Unfortunately,
and when he's
going to
be blamed for it too, guess what? You got
to
clean
exactly,
it up.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. It seemed like whenever something happens, he's the first person that fingers get pointed at. So, you know,
yeah.
The reaction time that he had to react to this situation as opposed to like a George W. Bush, where I'm going to let a week go by and let these people just get hit with this hurricane and do nothing, and then I'm going to make a speech later about it, you know. Like, I had to salute him. Unfortunately, Barack's actions should be the norm, but it's really like the exception when you coming off of 8 years with, you know, President Bush before him, you know what I mean?
I mean, I told you, are you getting an echo as well? Because I don't want an echo on your show.
No. I don't have an echo.
Okay.
I
just want to make sure. But, yeah, you know, after 8 years of, you know, this is second term, right?
This is Barack's second year.
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, it becomes a norm for you to do these things. You know what I'm saying? But you are absolutely correct. But I've seen, of course, people are going to have mixed emotions regardless. If you're doing for this person and you ain't doing enough for that person, it would never really be enough. And that's why it's so important that, you know, we start being accountable for our own selves. What happened in Boston was horrible. Do you hear me? Horrible. And it was just for attention. You guys be clear. Everybody that's tuning in, step your game up. The person or the people who did this was for attention. That's it. They just want to be seen.
And that's sad.
But I don't think...
You know, where does that really come from? Like, when you need that type of attention that you know, blowing up stuff and injuring people, seriously maiming people, where does that come from? Like...
It's sick, and we have a lot of sick people in this world, and, you know, let's be quite honest, you know, about it, J-Big. We ignore each other, too. You know, we really don't communicate with each other like how we used to. With all the technology and the media and everything that's going on, come on. We ain't really paying mind to one another like that. That's why a lot of things is able to still keep happening.
Definitely. I mean, it's like, if you ain't talking to me on Facebook or Twitter, I probably won't even talk to you for a little bit, for a couple weeks or so. You know, it's crazy. We don't know how to, like, even go see each other, like, just visit each other anymore. It's like, well, I'll call you. You know what I mean? And we need that in our communities. Like, that's the main culprit, I feel like, in society in general, is that we truly just are the way technology is, and as long as we keep improving technology, it drives us further away from each other. It used to be, you know, I remember when I was younger, my friends that had to come over my house, we play Nintendo together, whatever, you know, we was playing the Nintendo, we was in the same room. Now you look at it 20 years later, you ain't even got to be in the room with me. You can get on online through an Ethernet cable, and I can play with you, and we in two separate houses. And I'm not seeing the look on your face. I'm not seeing nothing. I can hear your voice maybe if you got a headset. But I don't see the look on your face when you lose or when I lose. You know, we don't have that interaction anymore. You know, we're not as impersonal with each other as we used to be through that.
Yeah.
Now even with telephones now, with a lot of these smartphones. God, thank God I got my iPhone now. We got, you know, some people... got the fancy smartphone where you can get your Google Chats or your Skypes and your Tangos or whatever. Some people don't have that, where it's like you just got a phone with what is it, 12 digits on the face of it, and you dial a number and you call somebody. So, you know, it's just, it's getting really to the point where we gotta force ourselves to almost want to be around each other, just for the, if not for ourselves, but for the sake of growing as a community, because technology doesn't do you but so good, you know what I mean, without that interaction.
And Texas can be misconstrued, you know, Facebook posts and all that stuff. I find myself lately, you know, telling the artists, you know, they hit me up, they see the promotion, they want to get interview promoting the spin, and I'm like, okay, fill out the submission form. The submission form is so I can gather and collect information and give the artist a call. I like to speak to the artist directly and the business owner directly. That way we can both be on the same page of what exactly they are looking to put out, talk about, and promote. And it's building a personal relationship as well. I ask them questions about, you know, their goals and where they're looking to go, and, you know, professional goals and personal goals. This is important so we can be able to properly communicate with each other, because life happens. Life happens. So sometimes it just takes for us that one leader person to say, you know what, let me just talk to this person in a different way to get them to communicate with me, and they don't even know that they're doing it.
Definitely.
That's
crazy.
What's so used to the quick talk, the quick text, the couple of words, and that's it?
Definitely. I need that in my life. Like, just, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's I don't know. I can't even lie. I'm a culprit myself, though. Like, I'm a victim or a slave of technology. You know what I mean? Like, I got two phones. So I'll be sitting on one phone just listening to music. The other phone, I'll be trying to text or Facebook or something like that. So I'm a thorough slave in my technology as well. I ain't even going to lie. But,
I'm
working on it. Yeah. That's how it be, though. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think what we as people, we all got to learn is that, you know, I think if you spend 6 out of 7 days on your phone, that 7th day is where you need to, like, interact with people. Put that phone somewhere, anywhere, where you won't get to it, and just leave it there, and then just go run and talk to people and run around your block, go for a jog or something, and say hi to everybody you see, something like that. You know, kind of train yourself so that you can, you know, just know, like, all right, I got to talk to somebody. I got to do that, you know. Crazy.
I gotta tell somebody. Yeah.
Man, you crazy. Oh man, before I forget, man, I'm gonna let everybody know. Tell a friend, you know, everybody that's on, you know, logging in and tuning in and catching the archive and everything. Make sure you tell a friend that as of today, we're going to move the show to 3 p.m. the time slot. 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. PST. So make sure y'all lock that in. Next week, we're going to be broadcasting at 3 p.m. And the topic, matter of fact, next week, we're going to get into talking about our special needs children. So the children that, you know, have disabilities, handicaps, and then, you know, the medicines that these physicians tend to slap our kids with. Like, are they really necessary? Is it just to keep the $1 trillion medicine industry alive? What is that all about? You know, that's what we're going to get into next week at 3 p.m. right here on Stevie Game of Saturday. So make sure y'all tune in. It's real special. It's real important. We're going to be talking about some major stuff, man. Without further ado, though, we're going to bring the boy Genius in, but we're going to take this quick, we're going to play this quick little music.
And right pay quick. Some bills. Gotta pay
the
bills.
You gotta pay the bills. Shout out to Denia Designs, For You Designs, Denia, whatever order you want to put it in. Her name is Denia, and she makes jewelry, and it's bomb.com jewelry. So make sure y'all check her out. Copper Jewels. Don't go to Jacob. Save your money. Go to Denia. She pays our bills. And yeah, do that. And also, my man Lyndon, DMVStaffing.com. You know, my man Tony Lyric, shout out to him. He was just asking me about Lyndon yesterday, and, you know, he's trying to go check out the site. So make sure y'all go check out the site, Lyndon at DMVStaffing.com. DMV as in DC, Maryland, Virginia. Dot Murray Base. I guess that's your little, that's your military slang for that. Dot Mary Vase or something like that. Dog Mary Vase, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, DMVstaffing.com. We're going to get into this music break. It's by my boy, AP Music Superb, off his last mixtape, Portrait of Life. The song's called Battle in the War. And, man, this song is powerful. It's real powerful stuff right here. You know, just pay attention to it, though. It's real serious because he's really feeling that poetic for his. So let's get into this real quick, all right? One. We be back. On the play. We'll be back. All right.
Battle in the war. What's going on, you guys? It's your girl, Diva Ebony B. Are you tired of being a worker bee and ready to be the boss? The time is now to contact DMV Staffing and put yourself in the driver's seat. Follow Lyndon Greer on Twitter at LG's Time. That's LGSTIME. And start making your own hours and seeing real financial growth and freedom through your hard work. Also, be sure to go to www.dmvstaffing.com. Again, that's www.dmvstaffing.com.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. Battle in the War, my man AP. Music superb, man. That song right there, that's going to be having me going a little bit. About to bring me to this. But, yeah, without further ado, man, let me bring in and shout out to my man, Lyndon, you know, from DMV Staffing. You know, that's the dude right there. He came on a few weeks back, you know, talk about what his site and his company does. You know, if you need a job, man, stop faking. Go over there to dmvstaffing.com, you know. But without further ado, let me bring in the man, the homie, the legend, the DJ, the CEO, the father, whatever you want to call him, he do it. My man, DJ Genius. DJ Genius, what's good?
What's good, what's good? Salute, salute.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Glad you could make it tonight, man. You a busy man. Know you got a lot going on, man. You know, appreciate you taking the time out to rock with us this evening, man.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I always show support. I mean, even when I'm busy, and you know, I have been pretty busy.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, you got the company, you got the family. You know, tell us a little bit. You know, if you don't mind, you talk a little bit about that for us a little bit.
Well, I mean, pretty much I've been in the industry, you know, over 20 plus years, you know, doing music. Outside of, you know, music, I did 14 plus years, you know, as a Navy SEAL, you know, fighting against terrorism, you know. So my prayers go out to, you know, the people who were lost and those who were affected by, you know, the situation that happened in Boston. And I'll say this, you know, we have to be, you know, more alert, you know, about how we go about things. We're too relaxed, too lackadaisical, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, these idiots are able to do a lot of the things that they do, because we're too complacent, you know, and things like that should never even be allowed to happen, you know.
Definitely, definitely.
And I definitely hate to see things happen to kids. You know, I love the kids.
Yeah, the little 8-year-old boy got killed or whatever, I think, injured or murdered from the blast.
Yeah, he was he died along with a few other people. And he was the people that was close to me. So, you know, I take that real serious. You know, and I just I hope that we could do more to, you know, protect things like that from happening. But that takes us all taking the responsibility to step up, you know, and do our part in this so that, you know, we can prevent those types of things from happening, you know.
Definitely, man, and my heart and my prayers is going out to these people, you know. I mean, it seemed like, you know, just every time you turn around, it's like you can't go out in public, you know, the towers are getting knocked down, you know, a bomb will go off at the marathon, a sniper is running around shooting up D.C. This is like every time you turn around, something's happening, you know, and it's crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just it's bad enough, you know, we got the natural disasters like the Hurricane Sandy's and, you know, things like that go on that take clean lives and whatnot, and these are things that we can't do anything about. This is something that we could have did something about. You know, somebody could have did something about it, you know, or had more control over self and not been as selfish and claiming human lives for nothing, for the purpose of what, you know. So, I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, I mean, it could have, it could have been prevented, you know, and that's the key thing is, you know, we need to do more to ensure the safety of our borders, you know, which is a major problem and issue that, you know, we have. Even though this is the United States of America, you know, we're not impenetrable. You know, there are threats around us all the time. There are things that are going on and happening all the time, and it's important that, you know, we stop turning our heads to things and really pay attention, you know, to the things that are going on around us and take more active roles, especially if you have kids, you know, to ensure their safety. You know, we can't say that, you know, children are the future and we're not doing all the necessary things to ensure that future. You know, I take things like this, you know, very serious, you know, because one, I'm a father, two, I mean, I fought against these types of things. So, you know, it's definitely important that, you know, we have it so that we can safely, you know, go out and do things, you know, because that one situation now is going to make it, you know, very difficult for other events, you know, to take place, you know. And we can't get lackadaisical. A lot of times it's like the bully on the block. You know, eventually that bully on the block is going to get beat. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So, you know, we have to be careful. We can't take this situation in the wrong manner and act on it in the wrong manner, which is why I'm glad that we actually got the other suspect alive.
Yeah.
You know, so that we can get, you know, more information, because usually situations like this, that's just one cell. You know, they're larger cells. They're larger reasons for, you know, these types of things that, you know, happening. So I just hope that we can gain that information to, you know, get the right people. You know, because a lot of times when things are done, you know, they don't get the people that really do something to them. You know, it's like two hustlers on a block. They could be beefing with each other, but once something go down, they go shoot up everybody on the block instead of the very person that they have a problem with. And when it comes to acts of terrorism, because they don't have the resources to get the right people that they have a problem with, innocent lives are taken. And that's what I have a problem with, you know, the whole thing. Because my thing is, if you have a problem with something, address it with that person. You know, innocent lives, especially children, should never have to suffer because of the foolishness of, you know, men and women. You know, and then my other thing I'll say on that, and I'll leave it alone, stop blaming religion. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be one of the first people to tell you, nowhere in the Quran doesn't tell you to do any of those things. And the moment that you commit any of those acts, you're no longer a Muslim. You know? And I'll leave that whole situation alone.
Yeah, let's leave the religion alone, people. Let's learn to respect our
I say that because I'm tired of people blaming religion for situations. Because if we want to be realistic, we could take it back to the Crusades up until now, where Christians were killing everybody who didn't follow Christianity. But I'm not trying to get into a religious debate or anything. But I just want to say that anything that brings people together in a positive manner to uplift the people and move the people forward, I support. You know,
definitely.
The things that are against that I give no support. But, you know, other than that, you know, and as well, salute to all the fellow veterans, you know, as well as myself, and those who are out here giving their lives every day, you know, to protect our borders and keep us all safe. Salute to all of my family who are overseas right now, this minute. You know, and in fact, I'm actually on call, so I may be recalled. You know, knock on wood, hopefully it won't happen. But, you know, if it does, then, you know, I don't have a problem, you know, doing my job.
Well, let's touch on that for a second. Just being a SEAL, you know, because we salute the armed forces tonight, so salute to you for serving your country. What's it like, you know, to be the, can you give us a little bit of detail, like what is it like, you know, how's the training and things of that nature? Because
I'll say this, you know, out of about 234,000 people that try out to become SEALs, only 2% actually make it. You know, that'll give you an idea of how difficult it is. And it's not about strength, because you get a lot of people, you know, on a regular basis, oh, man, I work out every day, I lift this, I lift that. Those are the first ones to crack. You know, when you go through what's called buds, I can't go in full detail, so I'm going to simplify it.
Okay.
You know, things. You go through buds, right, which is your training. SEALs training is about a year of training, but the first week of buds, it's called Hell Week, and they call it that for a reason. That's where you separate the weak from the strong, you know. And through that process, a whole lot of people are eliminated. Like, for instance, one of the drills we actually went out on, it took us out in a team of five. They fly you out about 20 miles out to sea. They take a ball that's weighted, tie a key to it. It drops down into the water about 100 feet. They actually handcuff your hands behind your back, tie them down to your feet, drop all five members down into the water. The team leader, which in fact in this particular event happened to be me, has to undo itself, drop down, get the key, undo the rest of his team. Then you actually have to swim in the shore, you know, 20 miles. Which the only way you're going to do that without getting tired is the backstroke. So if you think you're going to make it, good luck with that. And
yeah,
then once
I was,
you actually
like,
get
that sounds bad. Just you telling this, just sounds bad. I don't want no problem
right.
with that.
And, you know, once you actually get to shore, it's still not over. Then you actually have to run 10 miles in. You know, then you begin your training. But
wow.
That's just, you know, one of the events. I mean, they expose you to everything from hypothermia. What they call it, hypothermia training, but they really expose you to hypothermia. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
along with a whole list of other things. But, I mean, to be perfectly honest, for me, it was a different experience for me because it was like, you know, to me it was playing outside. That's how I looked at it. I felt like I was playing outside. It was fun because I was doing what I always wanted to do. Somebody else's perspective may be a little different.
Yeah, what?
You know, because for me growing up, it was like everybody used to ask, you know, how come it doesn't bother you? You know, we at war. And to be perfectly honest, you know, my response to that was I experienced worse things on the street, you know, than I did in combat. You know, I've seen far worse things in hospitals, you know, than I've seen, you know, in the field. Not to say you don't see a lot of bad things, and nor does it make me immune to it either, you know, but it did help, you know, situations, because I can't say it takes a certain type of person, you know. I lose a lot of sleep, you know, just because of how long I've done my job, you know. So I actually have a sleeping disorder, which there's no cure for that, and there's also no cure for PTSD. And hopefully we can get better at being able to treat the troops for that, you know. But the even bigger issue that we actually have is for any of the branches of service, for all of the soldiers who actually come back. You know, imagine your job is actually to be trained in combat and different aspects of combat, and you're coming back into society and trying to be a civilian. It's a very
difficult process. Mind-boggling. Like,
you know,
I think my wife came back, you know, from doing the Marines. My wife was a Marine, and she came back from there, and like every 5 seconds, it's like, man, you civilian. Like, I'm like, that's like calling me out my name. You know what I mean? Like, I was hurt, you know, by. We got into many an argument hearing that word, that C word, you know, and I didn't understand, like, they're brainwashed into thinking like I'm a machine and that's not a machine. Like, it's almost like machines versus people or whatever, aliens versus humans type of thing, where we're brainwashed into, you know. So it's crazy. It's real crazy. That whole mentality, just it's hard. You can't just come back and just blend in with her. It's like Clark Kent being Superman. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you'd never be normal, I should say. And to be perfectly honest, I don't ever want to be normal. Yeah, I don't even know what normal is, to be perfectly honest. Because if it's a normal person out there, keep them away from me.
Because, you know, I thought we were cool. I'm normal.
No, the reason why I say that is that there's
now,
no,
you know,
normal person on the planet. Everybody is different. Everybody has innuendos, you know, and issues and things that they do, but it's about how you deal with it that really defines it, you know, and determines your path and your course. But I think that's one of the beauties of the Most High's gift. You know, He made us all. He made us all into individuals. That some people were born with certain abilities. Some developed them. Some are too stubborn to realize His blessings. And I pray for all of them.
One thing that you got that is normal is a family. So if you don't mind, like, can we touch on that for a second? Like, what is it like to just go from being all commando, suburban commando, into just being a dad? Like, how does that work, you know?
Well, I mean, first I'll say this. Being a dad is the greatest experience in my life ever. I mean, far greater than any other achievement that I've ever gained in my life. You know, because to know that there's another life, you know, that's there, that needs you, you know, is the most beautiful thing in the world. You know, like, I was there when both my, you know, my kids were born, and I wouldn't have rather been anywhere else. You know, hearing the words daddy is like the greatest thing in the world. You know, like, some people are afraid to change diapers and things like that. I love it. I love every experience. And I'll say this to every last father: time spent is more valuable than anything on this earth that you can purchase for your kids. So stop buying your kids. What they remember is the time that you spend with them. No gift can replace that. You cannot buy things for your kids to make up for time that you need to spend with them, because time lost can never be regained. You know, and I'll leave it at that. I ain't going to bash men, but I'll just say we need to step up and really be real fathers, you know, out here.
And ladies, y'all got to let those men be fathers, too. Let's say that,
yes,
too. Step your game up, ladies.
Yes.
You have to let
definitely
them
stop
be
impeding
fathers.
People
be
from being
dead.
The fathers.
Yeah. I know that a lot of women have are in a position that they have felt like they have to fend for themselves, or they're primarily taking care of the child or whatever. But if you just take your time and put your own personal feelings to the side sometimes, let that man be a father. Please don't try to dictate everything that he's doing, because you are not a perfect parent. So allow the time, make the time available, and encourage your child's father, whether you're with him or not. Encourage him and encourage your child, those two, to spend time with each other, and just step back and shut up.
Yes, I'll say this.
Kill me.
If you really care about your kids, you'll do everything. You hear me? Everything to put them in the best position to succeed in life. And I take my hat off to all the women who raise, you know, kids by themselves, Diva. You know, doing that with, you know, the blessing of Makai. You know, which that's a great thing. But when we have fathers out here and mothers out here, such a difference aside, your focus should be on the kids, and y'all should be doing everything that's humanly possible to ensure their future being great. You know, that should be number one all the time.
That's what be killing me, man, is when you have, and I'm not saying all women are like this, but, you know, you have women that, like, you bash the dude because he's not there, but then you won't help the dude be there, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, if...
Yeah,
if
it makes
you,
a lot
you
of
know,
sense. I hear on a daily basis, you know, situations of different friends that are involved in circumstances where the women make it difficult for them to be able to see their kids. Like, one of my friends has been, you know, without putting his name or business out there, you know, his son's mother jumped up, took his child, and went to California purposely, you know, to impede him from being able to see him. But him being the person that he is, he picked up, left everything that he had, got a job out there right by where she's at, you know what I'm saying, and is doing everything right now to actually gain custody of, you know, his child, because, one, she's not fully capable of being able to take care of their child. And that's another thing. If you know that you do not have the means or ability without the system to be able to take care of your kids and make the best decision for your kids.
Make
Stop hindering their future. You know, it's not about you. It's not about you or the other person. It's about the kids.
I think there should be a law against that. And not only do females do it, but males do it. And I've seen, you know, males get up and take their kids down south and let the moms and the aunt raise them. There should be a law against that. You drastically just pick up and move. The person have no type of awareness. You didn't put in a change of address or anything. If you just pick up and take the kid across country and just move somewhere and there's no domestic violence or anything like that, you should be really considered for kidnapping. I know, right? Kidnapping your own child, but that's exactly what you did, because people do that out of spite and say, oh, I'll move and I'll take my baby with me or whatever. That's not going to change.
But then they'll sit there and say that the father or the mother don't spend no time with their kids and see their kids.
That's not going to change the problems that you guys were having in the beginning, you know, or with the relationship. You guys need to go to some type of...
Here's a newsflash. Those kids grow up, and when they are lacking that presence or that male presence or that motherly female presence, it affects them and scars them for life. So y'all should think about that when y'all do those things.
Definitely. Most definitely. You had some kid grow up and then he's like hating you after you done put all them years in thinking you was doing the right thing, and now that kid done turned away from you. How you gonna feel then?
Right, or hating women or hating men, you know, because you got a lot of, you know, ignorant parents who will sit there and feed, you know, things into the kids and talk bad about the mother or their father. I mean, I can tell you, my first son's me and his mother, we don't get along at all. You know, my focus is on my son. Any conversation other than that is mute to me. But at the same time, I never in his presence speak ill of his mother, despite the things he's done, and never will, you know, because that's not the type of person that I am. You know, I'll tell my son, that's your mother, and I'll ever disrespect her.
Definitely.
You know, because you only get one, you know, but a lot of times we have situations where, you know, people, well, I can't say they don't know no better because they know what they're doing. Where they do those things, or they use their kids to manipulate situations, you know, between them and the person. Let go, you know what I'm saying? Let go, leave the past behind you. If that person don't want to be with you, so be it. Don't make that child suffer because your disposition with another person.
Definitely.
You know, and that's what we're doing a lot. We're putting our kids, we're using our kids as shields for our own lives. We need to own up to our own responsibilities and actions. Trying to punish somebody else in the end, we're only punishing the kids. You know, which is why
you end up punishing yourself later because you done did all of that. You done went through all of that mess. You done did all
for
of that.
For what, though? I mean, so what are you gaining from that?
And they still go off and be with somebody else. So you did all of that for nothing. Running.
And then that, and the other thing we got to start doing is pay attention to the signs, because it's like,
yeah,
we know the people that we was dealing with. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like some miracle change happened and you woke up one day next to this alien being and you're like, well, who is this person? You know, you have to pay attention to, you know, those signs. And the reason why I say that is sometimes we'll lower our standards to certain things or overlook certain things and say, you know what, you know, when you accept a person, you accept all of that person, good and the bad, you know. And now you can raise issue with some of those things, you know, to voice your opinion of what you feel is right for you or wrong. And if you do it in that manner and they choose to, you know, correct those things or y'all work on those things together, then that's fine and dandy. But, you know, if you accepted all of those things, whatever happens, you know, you gotta be, you can't point the finger at them because you chose to say, hey, you know what, I accept it.
Yeah.
But we so quick to point the finger at everybody else, and it's always everybody else's fault. That's one thing that always cracks me up in a relationship. Like, we don't do no wrong. Oh, no, it was her fault. Oh, it was his fault. Oh, I did everything I was supposed to do, really. But then you notice patterns in people's lives. Like, look around in your circle of friends and in their relationships and the people they talk to, and see if they're repeating the same situations over and over again. And when you see that happening, then you have to look at self and look in the mirror, assess yourself, and work on fixing yourself before trying to be with somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Definitely. We all some messes, man. We all is every last one of us is a mess that need to get fixed. Something wrong with us. We all a mess.
Work in progress, man.
Yeah, we all got to fix ourselves, man.
You know, it's like it wouldn't be life if we didn't make mistakes. And making a mistake is all right.
But yeah, it's okay.
Learning from the mistake, you know. Learning from the mistake. It's like I always say that, you know, when a child is old enough to decipher and distinguish the difference between right and wrong, and then they choose to still do wrong, then we have to take responsibility. And that's one of the things we're not doing. We're not taking responsibility. A lot of people have an I don't care mentality, you know, and they live in these fabricated facade lives. Life is not all about Jordans and materialistic things that really have no value at all. You know, we're running away. Like I noticed I was talking about the social networking. You could take the average two kids nowadays and sit them in the room and they don't know how to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watch a young man talk to a young woman and you'd be like, wow, really? That's how you approach a woman? You know? You know, put them in a situation where they're trying to apply for a job. They don't know how.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Crazy
out here. That should never be the case.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We got to do better.
You know who I take my hat off to? You know, like, salute to. You know, yeah, I'm a veteran, but you know who really need to be saluted? Every last teacher in every last one of these schools that's been underpaid to take care of everybody else's kids and all of the problems and baggage that they bring along with them on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine sitting in a classroom with 20 to 30 kids all day.
I can imagine that with a belt. No, I'm just playing.
I mean, that's the era I grew up in. Yeah, you couldn't do that in school. When I came up in, you could get beat. They could beat you. You know, in these times we're living in, you know, they don't do that. Like, you know, I grew up in an era when, you know, the whole village raised you. You know, you got whipped by the neighbors or anybody else, and if your parents found out about it, you got another whipping. You know, and to be honest, I think we need to go back to them times. You know, that's needed. I'm all for that. We should have public ass whippers. Yeah, I think we could fix a lot of problems. I think that every last person right now, at this moment, walking around with some nut hugging tight jeans, showing their drawers, need to be beat publicly. Yeah, just my voice, just my
nut
voice.
Hugging.
You know what I'm saying? You know, but I'm for real, man. I don't want to go to the mall and see you walking around ignorantly like that. You know.
I make them uncomfortable. I'll be like, oh, look at that. And I'll really walk up to them so they can see me taking a picture. This one dude was like, yo, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking a picture of your booty meat. Got it out for us to see it. So just stand still. Go ahead and twerk it. And he hurried up and pulled his pants up. And he was holding, he didn't even have no belt on, but he was skinny. He was skinny as all day. Like, he could have went past a pole and it would have disappeared. Why are you so
right.
hanging down? So I followed him a couple of steps in the mall, sure did, right on my break, and I took a picture of him, and I made sure he knew I was taking a picture of you. I was like, I'm going to put you on my website, too. You're going to be a star. Your ass is going to be a star.
I use humor and comedy to embarrass them into realizing how stupid they look like. You know, two guys that was, you know, walking around with that particular image, and I was like, you know, I told my son, I was like, look at these two ignorant people. These are ignorant people in their natural habitat. Like, I was on National Geographic. I was like, let's sit back and let's just watch them. Okay, see the alpha male right there. He's the main ignorant. Watch how he approaches the girl and he's turned away. You know, I mean, and then tell them, like, really look at yourself. I mean, my thing is, how can you knowingly leave out of your house like that. You know what I'm saying? And then if you're a gangster, or you calling yourself a gangster because you ain't a gangster, you know what I'm saying? How you running around like that with your pants hanging down? You're going to get caught anytime you commit any crime. You ain't running from no police like that.
Somebody punch you in the chin, you're going to flip right over your pen.
Was he even worse than Queen? I seen a young lady with her son. He had to be no more than 2 or 3. Mimicking the same images of his retarded father doing the same
stuff. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. He walking around holding his pants up and pulling. It's crazy. That's the society that we live in. I swear, if I was in charge, it'd be ugly. You know, that's why I won't get into politics. Because they'll all be on the island somewhere.
And then we blow the island up.
Well, now we wouldn't have to do that because we're basically, to be perfectly honest, we're doing exactly what the man wants us to do, and us be ignorant and kill each other.
True.
You know, that's what we're doing at the end of the day, is creating that big great divide, and our race is being left behind due to ignorance. You know, and that's our own fault. We can't fault nobody for that, because before John Holy Hawkins came over to pick up the first slaves from Africa, we was enslaving our own people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to look at self first. You know, not to say that it was okay for them to come over here and, you know, snatch us up for slavery, but, you know, you really have to assess things, and when you look at it, and then it's like you think about this and you talk about conditioning, you know. Go back 450 years when the slaves were actually brought here, and then when they were finally freed, the majority of them slaves went back into slavery even after they were quote-unquote freed by the Emancipation Proclamation, which basically didn't say that you were free. You're born free. But, you know, here in the States, that document basically states that you're free to work for me. You're free to follow all of our rules. And the moment that you don't do any of the things that we declare, then your freedom is taken away. You know, and this came from the very people who ran away from the rules and regulations and monarchy of a king and came and created the very same thing over again. Shout out to all the bootleggers, all the drug dealers that founded this nation. But they locking up everybody, and I'm not justifying drug dealers by any means. Out here, but you know, that's what this nation was founded off of, was corruption. You know,
man.
And it's time for us to make some changes. You know, and to be perfectly honest, I hope that, you know, this situation that just actually happened in Boston doesn't create an even bigger situation in Russia, because we really don't need that right now.
We don't need any of it.
Yeah, we really don't, and we really don't need the situation that's going on with North Korea, you know, because we can't afford it. Bush put us in a serious situation. Just to give you some numbers, it cost us $14 billion a month for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. $14 billion a month and still going. You know, we're in some serious debt. If China or Saudi Arabia pulled their money out of the U.S., we go bankrupt right now. And that's alarming. You know, and it also creates an even bigger problem, because it gives them a lot of control to be able to freely do a lot of things in the U.S., you know, which makes it so that we have to be careful about how we go about and do things, as it affects the entire economy. And even other foreign interests, you know. It's crazy the way that things are, you know. People call it politics, I call it politrix, because at the end of the day, it's all about somebody capitalizing off of something.
I want to talk about, like, the music, you know what I mean? If we could shift focus a little bit, let's talk about music and real fast. Let's get into just, you know, like, the last project I think I can recall or whatever from you is I was on it, matter of fact. It was called Hip Hop Resurrection. So can you tell us like a little bit about that, you know, and exactly what the aim of it was, you know, compared to, because you got a lot of music out here now that sounds a lot alike each other. You got a lot of the producers that's making the same beats over and over again and selling it to different artists. You got a lot of people scared to think out of the box. So, you know, let's talk about, like, you know, what can you tell me about, like, how you feel about the music game?
Well, I mean, right now, it's so, man, it's so saturated with a lot of garbage, you know, and there's two reasons for that. I fault the people that buy into it and the conglomerates who continue to capitalize off of, you know, our ignorance, you know, but I can say that, you know, everything I do, I strive to not take the path or course that they take. I mean, my whole purpose for even doing the mixtapes, one is, as you know, I cater to a lot of indie artists, you know, and helping them to, you know, reach whatever goals it is that, you know, they're trying to reach, you know, in the industry. And I firmly believe in thinking outside the box, you know, to be different, to be an aboriginal, which means to be the first of origin and doing something. Part of the problem in the industry is as soon as somebody comes out with, you know, a slogan, a statement, a trend, everybody follows the same thing. It's generic, you know, and that's not creative. Hip-hop is a culture, and that's what separates rap, which is commercialized. You know, hip-hop is a culture, a movement that'll never die. Rap will die. Hip-hop itself will never die. You know, but rap will, because as we continue to dumb down lyrics and continue to push ignorance, the market for it is dying, realistically. The numbers are going down and down and down, and the people are, you know, beginning to sway away from it, you know. And as you get older, you mature, some people gravitate away from hip hop. I know a lot of people who grew up on hip hop, but grab their iPod right now, they're listening to R&B, smooth jazz, you know what I'm saying, and very few hip-hop songs, and just because of the type of stuff that, you know, is being played on the radio on the average day. There's a lot of ignorance. I mean, to be honest, majority of the stuff that, you know, is out, I wouldn't even have my kids listen to.
Yeah, and I see, like, on the mixtape, you know, we got a lot of stuff from a lot of artists is that, like, the average person is not really aware of, you know. For example, this one kid, you got Jister, you know what I mean? He's over from, he's overseas, and he was on there, and he actually was spitting and doing his thing, you know, on the mixtape and everything. So, you know, just how did you go about, like, reaching across the UK to get Jista, and then reaching across, you know, the States to get, you know, different people, the Ahum?
Well, in my experience of being in the game for so long, I have a whole network of DJs actually around the world. Through one of my other DJs, Figure, who's actually in the UK, and one of the other artists, Sickness, who are actually there. I've met a lot of artists, you know, as well as salute to DJ Ames over there, too. I had the opportunity to work with a lot of the different artists that are actually there, which, you know, it's crazy that there's more of an appreciation for hip-hop abroad than it is here. You know, hip-hop in America is not really supported. We don't go out and buy it. You know what I'm saying? Like, actually, so when was the last time you actually paid for a song? You know what I'm saying? By an artist. You know, not downloading, but paid for. You know, it's like, I address this to black people. Like, we will go online and download some stuff. But when it comes to, you know, actually supporting, we don't really support. Like, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about Dream, who's actually from the area. You know, when he came here, people who actually came to see him came from outside of the DMV. The majority of the people in the DMV didn't even support him. You know, and that is sad. Artists shouldn't have to move out of the city or the state where they're from to get support. You know, and it's crazy, but you could take an artist now that's in the U.S. and you can take them overseas and they could be a megastar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually been going on since the founding of hip-hop. Like, you think about, you know, some of the greatest artists, from Slick Rick, you know, to a whole list of others who actually released their albums abroad and did more than they actually did in the States just because of that. I mean, you know, not to pull race into it, but, you know, the majority of the market is middle-class white, you know, Americans who actually buy, you know, our work. And you would think, as big as we are about fashion and hip-hop and everything, that we be going out and doing everything, but that's a myth, you know. It's actually bought by middle-class white Americans.
Yeah, I see it all the time. Public Enemy's last couple of albums, I was doing the research. Their last couple of albums didn't really do too good here, but overseas, it was like crazy. They was touring, and they was just getting
They can do, like, even that's what keeps, you know, legendary groups like even Wu-Tang. That's what keeps them, you know, at the apex of where they're at, because of the worldwide branding that they have. Like, I always try to tell artists, stop just thinking local. If you're thinking local, you'll never make it anywhere. You have to think global. In the times that we live in right now, you can reach the world, you know. So if you're thinking just locally, then you're limiting yourself, because I wouldn't just want to be hot in my neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? You want to be hot outside the neighborhood, you know, in other cities and other states. Okay, I'm multitasking here, taking care of the little one and doing this at the same time. Hey, son. Okay, now I'm putting on one of my other hats, the daddy hat.
I could dig it. Actually, you know what? We were going to take a little quick music break. Anyway, we're going to take a little music break and we're going to come back. We're going to play some games. We're going to play some games with the homie Genius. We're going to play a word association game, you know what I mean? And pick his brain a little bit more, you know, where the music game is concerned. And we're going to talk to him a little bit more about that, you know. So, Genius, stay on the line. Stay tuned. We're going to pick your brain a little bit more. We're going to go to the music break. We're going to play this joint by the homie Jista. Shout out to Jista over in the UK, you know, who's featured on the Hip Hop Resurrection mixtape. And we're going to get into this song, Bring It Fast, by Jista.
This is a Genius Music exclusive.
Words and I'm hurting the verb, brazen feet first, cause my words are the worst, and I'll murder the first person who gets on my my nerves, but I need to stop thinking. My thoughts are absurd, and I thought of a word to describe how I feel. A thought in my mind, so it's time to reveal what some thoughts are better for. Might just stop, some thoughts are better, forgotten and dropped. So it's time to feel, now release your mind. Our time's not real, feel free to cry, because I'm high till I drop. Ask why I won't flop, because the word that would never run my mind will stop. I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last. I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last. I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last. Bring it fast, I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last. Bring it fast, I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last. Bring it fast, I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last. Bring it fast, I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last. Bring it fast, I'm bringing it back, you say bring it fast, but you're bringing it last.
You already know what it is. J. Rule the Realist, South Central Unsigned Hype. Let's get it in. Step your game up Saturdays. Let's go.
Hey, turn me all the way up, my nigga. What it is, man. It's for my nigga Genius. My nigga said, I got the baton. It's my shit. It's my year. I'ma run with that motherfucker. You feel me? I'ma address this shit to y'all. Whack ass, non-ball having ass, sorry ass, non-spitting ass, stripping over your own fucking feet having ass motherfucking rappers out here, man. Sorry ass niggas, man. Put out a mixtape, say you freestyling and you sound like you sparring and jabbing the beat and shit. The beat knocking your ass out, though. I'ma show y'all little niggas real quick, look. Yeah. It's still murder. My voice is a clip and it's still burner. More truth in that shit than Ron Killers and Sojourner. These rap niggas is pitiful. Eat them like my dinner food. Catch them in interview, set them in their living room. Think you hot shit cause you got a little hit or two. I make your hot new song sound like an interlude. Make your label sorry that they gave two shits for you. I'm trying to reach the top. And for two of us, there is a room. I see these rap niggas same way the bitches do. They even eating the ass crack or they kissing it and tricking too. Hit the booth, talking all the shit that you didn't do. Screaming about you sick, whole time niggas sick of you. I'm ill enough to cure that. Hip hop, pure rap, punchlines built like a fullback. Shoulda leave you on the sidelines while Hans wore that. Whack shit, why they even let your ass record that? Shoulda been gag ordered when you put that trash on it. Shoulda put mag on it, we coulda put cash on it. Got hits in the vault, nigga, we just letting the interest build. Deposit to savings each time is a different deal. And still be chasing stacks until we fade to black. A bunch of made niggas don't ask where the matrix at. Shitting on the throne, spitting diesel on the street. While you sipping on Patron, pretending to be a king. I'm in the cypher spin, lava rocks till these niggas noggin' pop a lot of rims. Don't be shocked if you gotta dodge the shot. From a place where niggas be getting robbed a lot. We the type of niggas that you bloggers watch. Something to idolize, imitate, searching for coolness. Gobbling on my dick, then claim to be ghoulish. I murder more than ink, let a nigga get foolish. Fuck with my IQ, is a nigga go stupid. No dread swinging, still a nigga headbanging. Automatic like the lead spray. Mom's on the side of the bed praying. You in the hospital with the bedpan. Suits out your chest, monitors on your leg, man. I'm what your kids' nightmares is made from. The tree that your lynched up body I hang from. The one that'll use your family tree for firewood. Don't compare me to rap niggas, I can't lie to you. And now this ain't a contest to show you how real I am. I carry torch, y'all tweet about it like will I am. No still I am, over how skilled I am. No dream, only one goal, get a mill I am. Got bars like a fundraiser, niggas got no heart. Like standing right across from a gun wave of fucking codes. No wonder the game is fucking ruined. Every nigga wanna be a fucking goon, fucking tools. Till they cost a nigga like me and get stuck with jewels. Claiming that they hustle and kush. Plus they puff it too, they got hard and soft. And they both up for sale. You on whatever drugs, that you looking sober as hell. Meanwhile, my people chasing the high, they never reach until they die. And God look in their eyes and let them speak. Not the same, but I'm far from a wolf playing shepherd. I pull real quick, fuck with you boys. Say you mess with niggas, put all they faith into something mysterious. Fuck up your theory, trying to chase something venereal. I'm sleep when they get up on that freedom of speech shit. Fuck you and all them creatures you sleep with. In a heartbeat, I'll change that to something that's literal. Not a 5 or 85, I hate every percent of you. Been live to gas with a buck 35. Back when every nigga's fantasy was Mary J. Blige. Young nigga way ahead of the curve, just like the wind up. Don't gotta take my word, the street saying your time's up. Don't hate the messenger, your problems with the sender. Mad cause your mother and father was a Brenda. And they do you but you couldn't vacuum, swallow, or use the wet wipe when you should've got miscarried in the port-a-john. Should've been the stain I laid your mom and her daughter on. Instead of getting it popping, you should've been the rocket. Homie shot up in her eye and let it sit up in her socket. Should've been wiped up with a sock, knifed up with some guap. Not even worth life up in the box. If you a rap niggas, and I really don't hate them, no fucks at all. Don't ask me to donate them, no bucks at all. And claiming they so major, one question for you though. How much do they pay you, niggas? Pussy ass niggas. Yeah, I said it. How much money you got, niggas? I know what I'm making. Mo really.
What's going on, you guys? It's your girl, Diva Ebony Bean. Are you tired of being a worker bee and ready to be the boss? The time is now to contact DMV staffing and put yourself in the driver's seat. Follow Lyndon Greer on Twitter at LGTime. That's LGSTIME. And start making your own hours and seeing real financial growth and freedom through your hard work. Also, be sure to go to www.dmvstaffing.com. Again, that's www.dmvstaffing.com.
I'm heavily composing our souls to the haters of the money that you're open. Destined to blow up a dynamite, nigga was chosen. I just shower in success until the Judas I had soaking. Hey, y'all can stick in shallow waters, I'm in deep and floating. That means I'm on my surface and I have it met my people. When I do, I touch the top for a while, then the sleep to the clouds. clouds, take a bow to the heavens, they miss me. I am trying to be the best, I do it all though for me. You hustle to pay some bills, I hustle so I can eat. I'm seeing my dreams through even when I'm not asleep. I'm a rapping juggernaut and ain't nobody stopping me, I'm saying.
Nothing ever felt so right until she came in my life. Oh, it was a soul so deep, nothing could suffice. Without her, I think I lose it. When I fell in love with a chick named Muse.
Positively exuberant, motivated, the mood I'm in. She is my soul, the reason you in the group you in. She gave me heartbreak and laughter, success and disaster. With me when I fucked it up and rocking with me after. Used to think that everything was sweet till I met the music game and found out that bitch was a freak. She liked in many ways, fathering hallways. And there is a people who treat her with love always. To me, she is my morning wood, makes me go hard when I wake up. The reason the brother can get his cake up. What I take from her is cool, what she gives is bliss. She's my inspiration, the reason my goal is this, to take it all over, make it all over, have my name on the charts, new age Hova, blast like Nova, big like Scotia, always social, dope like cocaine, and nothing else to come in between, the scent of fame she wears is so damn mean, so I grow my lettuce, harvest green, for the chance to advance my dream, you know what I mean?
Nothing ever felt so right, until she came in my life. Oh, it was a soul so deep, nothing could suffice. Without her, I think I'd lose it. Cause when I fell in love with a chick named Music. Music, Music. Fell in love with a chick named Music. Music, Music.
Up your game of Saturdays. I'm your host, the boy, man, kid, son, child, rebel, soldier, Jay Biggs, aka at Space Age J. You already know. And you know, shout out to my man DJ Genius, you know what I mean, for doing the show tonight, you know, and coming on talking with y'all a little bit, giving so much of himself and his fitness and his busy schedule. You know, that's a busy man right there. And you know, shout out to him, and shout out to him and his new seed and his family and everything like that. Yeah, right now, tonight, you know, I want to let y'all know, next week's show, next Saturday, we broadcasting live at 3 p.m., so, you know, 3 p.m. Eastern time, so 12 p.m. on the West. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you get that, lock that in on your calendars and your phones or whatever. Tune in next week at 3 p.m., you know, we're talking about special needs kids, and, you know, we want to shine a little spotlight on them. This week, we specially, you know, we shouting out Armed Forces, you know, shout out to Genius, who was the ex, well, he's a SEAL on Reserve SEAL right now, so, you know, when anytime they call him up, he going in. You know, shout out to, you know, my wife, Tina Harper, you know, who is a ex-Marine, you know, and shout out to her boy TJ Ferguson. We was chilling with him last week. We came out, you know, we took the boy out, showed him a good time, took the boy to Kobe, you know what I mean? Got some warm sake, got big, tall, whatever pink lemonade drink he had, you know, so shout out to that, the SEALs, shout out to the SEALs, shout out to the Marines, you know, shout out to my man Harvey Battle in the Air Force, or ex, you know, Air Force member, you know, so we saluting the Armed Forces tonight. And we starting a new segment in the show, you know, just for y'all future reference. We started a new segment in the show is referring to how you can better yourself, you know, better your education, you know what I mean, and get yourself together. It's called College of Come Up. So that's the, you know, focus of our show, you know, right now. That's the reason why the focus of our show is on the armed forces, is to try to explain and educate to everybody just how exactly that ties in to you better in your life. And as Genius mentioned it before, you know, singling out the SEALs or whatever, you're joining the SEALs is not as easy as it looks. Just because you're a beefcake, you know, you got all the muscles on your muscles and everything, it's about having heart, you know, it's about having courage, you know, so you got to have a lot more than physical strength, mental strength, psychological strength. It takes a lot to survive in these armed forces. However, there are some perks to these things. If you get in, I know for a fact, you know, from firsthand with the Marines, you get in there and your medical benefits is free. Free 99, that's right, free. So you have children, they covered. You covered, your children covered, everything. So, you know, that's a good look, you know, for those who are currently not medically covered, you know, you paying all out of pocket to go to the hospital. That's definitely, you know, one of the big benefits to get into the service. A lot of people look at the drawback of, like, you know, having to go to wars and or fight, you know, or being, you know, spending extended periods of time away from your family and things of that nature, you know. But there are some perks. They pay you a nice little, so most branches of armed service, armed forces and services, they tend to pay you very well. And, you know, of course, you gotta know what you're doing with your money, you know. So that's a show that we had, you know, months ago where we talking about managing your money. So it's just like anything else in life. You gotta know what you're doing and be able to manage your money. You know, you do get to travel and you get to see different cultures and different countries and meet different people. So that is a plus right there. You get to meet people outside of just your everyday circle that you would run into. So, you know, there are a few pluses that, you know, go along with joining the armed services and armed forces or whatever. And, you know, I'm a son of, you know, two people who served in the U.S. Army. You know, my mom fought in Desert Storm. So, you know, it is like, you know, there are some perks to it. There are some drawbacks, just like anything in life. So, you know, I encourage, you know, for people that who are, if you are having difficulty finding a job and it's discouraging you, you know, I know the economy is bouncing back, but it's, you know, it's going to be some time. If you feel like, you know, it's for you and it's, you know, to your benefit to do it, maybe you could look at serving your country, you know. They do pay for you to go to school. That's one thing that, you know, another perk, they pay for you to go to school. Most branches, they tend to pay for you the whole free ride for you to go to school, you know what I mean? So that's a perk. You might want to look into that, you know, and maybe possibly the reason why you're not finding that employment is because you don't have the education that goes along with that. You know, you might have a little bit of experience in that field, but you might just be chasing, you know, more money and not really be able to provide the work, the level of expertise that the company desires for you to be in that particular field. So maybe it's all it is for you just to go back to school and being in the service, serving your country, you can get free schooling for that. As I said before, you know, a lot of people would tend to not, Genius mentioned it before, a lot of people tend to brand themselves as being a local, or in other words, wherever you at, that's where you are, that's where you are, that's where you're going to be. And joining the armed forces will take you up out of that. You know, they'll send you to places that you never imagined you would go to, and you will, you know, generally tend to enjoy those places. My man Harvey was from here, you know, shout out to him. And, you know, after he got out of the Air Force and got a job, you know, got him a job, the Air Force placed him with a job, he was living in Vegas, you know, which was really good, you know, fun times for him. And then he ended up, you know, moving to South Carolina. These are all places that you wouldn't think that, you know, I wouldn't think that my man would move to. So, you know, that's kudos for him and kudos for the Air Force. A lot of people in the services, I remember not too long ago, a guy called me up and he was asking me all these questions like, which one would I favor and, you know, which one do I think is better? That's one of those things I'm not going to touch on. I can't get into, you know, because I don't want to show any bias towards one or the other. All I'm going to say is do the research, find out what works good for you. Some services I know are a little bit stricter than others, have the toughness, have tougher, you know, authority, you know, where authority is concerned, they're a lot tougher. So, you know, you have to do the research, and that's one of those things that, you know, I can't really say. You know, I can't put that out. I'm not going to put that out there, you know. Definitely, you know, if you feel the need that, like, you're just wasting away, definitely get up and go see if you can serve your country, you know. I know a lot of people, you know, kind of frown upon, you know, the military, you know, because they are, like we said before, they're sort of brainwashed in the feeling a certain way towards a regular person. And it's hard for them to come back home and join back in with society, you know, and whatnot. So, I mean, a lot of people look at that and look a certain way, like, you know, what's going on, what's wrong with them or whatever. Honestly, I mean, that's just the way, you know, that's the way it's all it's kind of like, you know, the same thing with athletes. You know, in order for an athlete to really become an athlete, to be like that big, you know, like the big muscle head and I'm like superhuman on the field or on the court, whatever, in order for them to do that, the coach has to kind of drill it into their head that they can do more than that, than their body or their mind will allow them to think that they can do. So, you know, it's nothing personal, nothing about that. I had to learn that the hard way, you know. It's nothing personal with that. So, you know, it just is what it is. So it's just like a lot of training, a lot of undoing. You know, we're, as people, I feel like a lot of times we're bred to say I can't do something. Like we're bred to kind of know our limits. When you join these services, they're training you to undo knowing your limits and to not having a limit. The limit for them is like death. You know, that's where the limit is. Like, I'm gonna keep going till somebody kills me. And, you know, that's what all of that training does for you. It's really good for some people. If it's for you, I encourage you, you know, I challenge you, do the research, find out how you can get involved with that. And, you know, definitely look into that if that's what it's for you. I mean, if that's what you feel like is, you know, good for you, you know, especially if you ain't doing nothing now, you just wasting away, you know, if you ain't trying to go to DMV staffing and talk to my boy Lyndon and get a job, you know, that way, or get job training that way, go join the armed forces, you know. Maybe they'll be able to do some things for you for that. And after, you know, after some time, maybe you'll come back and you'll say, Space Age said, you know, I should do that. They can give us another sponsorship. We could be playing Marines, Air Force, Navy SEALs, Coast Guard commercials, and all that. But yeah, you know, without further ado, let's get my boy Genius back online. We're gonna bring him back in. Hey, my man Genius, what's up?
What's good, man? My bad. I apologize. My phone died.
Nah, no problem, man. No problem. We went to a little extended music break, and actually, I was overdue for my top of the hour segment anyway, which is our, you know, college and come up segment. So, you know, I briefly touched on, you know, discussing about, you know, the armed forces and how that, the pros and cons of that, and, you know, how some people need it, some people don't, what are the benefits from it, how, you know, healthcare and things of that, everything that comes along with it. Collegiate, you know, going to college, paying tuition, you know, I briefly touched on that. But what we're going to do real quick is we're going to play a game, we're going to play a word association game with you, you know, just so people can kind of see where your mind is right now. I'm going to say a random word, a random word, a name, phrase, something of that nature, and you say the first thing that come to mind, or you say how you feel about it, whatever comes, whatever, you know, whatever comes to mind.
All right.
Yeah. William.
Great.
Serena Williams is great. Okay. Chris Brown.
Trouble.
Wow. Yeah, man. Chris Brown. All right. Okay. Economy.
Horrible.
North Korea.
Really, man.
We are a family friendly show, though. Remember that.
Yeah. That's a tough situation. I'll just say that. It needs to be peace. I'll just say that. I'm gonna say peace.
Okay. Not bad. Hitler. Adolf Hitler.
Sadist.
It is. It's Hitler's birthday, by the way. So shout out. Happy birthday, unhappy birthday, whatever.
Yeah.
Adolf, happy,
all of the
Adolf Hitler.
420 Hitler celebrators out there.
Yeah. That was actually the next one. For, well, we're going to skip 420. Marijuana.
Marijuana. Natural.
Okay. Bob Marley.
Legend.
Ah, that's what I'm talking about. All right. Yoko Ono.
Beautiful.
Wow. Lucy Liu.
Beautiful.
You like them exotic type, huh?
I'll say Lucy Liu is an amazing martial artist. I actually got to meet her. I met her, what, twice. Amazing martial artist. They're very underrated.
Sounds good. Justin Bieber.
Are you serious, man?
Non-applicable. Going down the list.
All right, for the kids. Okay, I'll say kids.
Okay. Said, are you serious? Oh, man, that's priceless. Okay. Oh, Donald Trump.
Idiot.
Well, I ain't going to say George W. I'm going to skip that one. Okay. All right. Genius music.
Well, I mean, you could talk about George Bush. We talk about the devil every day.
That's a wild one.
That was easy.
Oh, man. Genius music.
Oh, man. Great place to help indie artists. That's more than one word.
Okay. Mainstream.
Problematic.
Oh, wow. Problematic. All right, we got three more. Okay. Now think about this one here. Lior Cohen.
He's a legend.
Okay.
For the industry.
Rick Rubin.
Legend. Both were legendary founders of Def Jam, so I mean, legends. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have, you know, any of the artists that we have today, along with LL Cool J, because a lot of people don't know that LL Cool J was also one of the founders of Def Jam, not just an artist.
Definitely. Two more. All right. Jay-Z.
Man. Yeah. That's a good one. Tyrant.
Oh, wow, yeah, tyrant. Tyrannical Jay-Z. All right. Last one. Jimi Hendrix.
Legend.
Definitely.
Amazing.
Definitely. That's what's up, man. Well, that is the Word Association game. Now we just going. I'm gonna ask you some general questions. Just things people may not know or may not be even thinking about. Coming off your experience in the music game, you know, you say you got 20 plus years. What would you say was your favorite time?
Oh man, That's a tough one, because, I mean, there were a lot of great moments. I would say the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, that was when hip-hop was at its greatest. But it's also a running tie, because I was also around during the birth of hip-hop, of seeing the movement formulate together. So, you know, seeing it going from block parties to your television and radio stations, you know, was, you know, it was a great moment.
Definitely. Is there any artist, like, if you could take one legend and put it with one indie, like, what would you do with that? Like, how would the combination be? You know, like, say, for example, if you could put Stevie Wonder with Jista, there you go. Stevie Wonder with Jista, like something of that. What would your combination be?
Oh, if I could make my own combination.
Yeah.
Of who I'd like to see together.
Yeah, indie with a legend. Just indie
with a
indie legend.
Legend.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you and Mos Def do something together.
Me with Mos Def? Mos Def would murder me on the track.
It's not about a battle, and what I think is both sides. Mos Def is conscious, but he also has a rough edge because he is from the streets of Brooklyn, you know, and I think that because of his well-roundedness, that you could complement each other. Sometimes it's two things that are different that once put together can be something great. This is the reason why they say opposites attract. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a relationship of both people think the same and act the same, you know what I'm saying? Eventually they're going to annoy the hell out of each other. You know what I'm saying? But when they have things that are different, you know, those are things that keep them intrigued, keeps the spark there. You know, so I think that'd be something great.
Definitely. That's what's up, man. I appreciate it, man. You know, Mos Def, I'd be rewriting my verse like 10 times trying to keep up with that, man. You know, that's some shoes right there. That's some shoes. You know what I mean? Let me go to the phone line real quick. I'm going to holler at 909. We're going to talk. 909, you on live with Genius Music, DJ Genius, and I'm your boy Space AJ. Who am I speaking with?
Well, you already know who it is, Space Age. J. Ruler Willis, representing South Central Los Angeles. What's going on to my guy, Genius? You understand me?
Yeah,
it was good, man.
And J. Ruler, that's a combination, a legend with an indie. That's what I'm trying to see right there. Genius, J. Ruler, and Genius do something together. You heard?
Oh, wow. You know what?
Good music.
That would be a blessing. Hotel to you, brothers, but that would be amazing, man. I actually just got off the phone with a legend, Mr. Grandmaster Jay himself, and we have some things in the works, so I definitely know about working with them legends and trying to bridge them gaps.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a great thing, and I mean, for the record, I let people know, you know, I'm never the type of person that would, you know, not work with somebody, you know, and I haven't retired from the mic, even though as of late I haven't really done anything, but that doesn't mean that I don't keep my shorts shopping.
Well, you're kind of like what I would consider myself, you know, like a rap Curtis Mayfield. Your songs are relevant. No matter how long they were put out ago, they're relevant to today's times, just like Inner City Blues is relevant to today. You know, it's the relevancy and consistency that I believe makes you a classic individual, whether it be within hip hop or fine arts or whatever you are doing. Being relevant and consistent is what I've found to be my greatest strength, staying humble. But I mean, Space Age know how I get down. But to be on the, like I said, to be on the line with you, it's an honor, man. You know, and if it could ever possibly happen, you, I'd love to bridge that gap.
Well, we can definitely make that happen. You can get my contact information from Jay, or if you're on Twitter, you can just hit me at @Genius, G N E O U S. And I talked back. I'm not one of them people that had like a robot or somebody else controlling their account or whatever. Yeah.
I believe I'm already following you. You can I'm under at J Real D A Realist R E A L E S T. And
yeah, man, actually I think so because he was on the show before. I think you are following me. Well, J Real, while I got you on the line, I got two questions for you. It's real simple. First question
yes, sir.
Is, when is that mixtape dropping?
Now we look into. Sorry, excuse me. It is 4:20.
Yes.
I'm not trying to disrespect nobody, but you know I do what I do. We're looking towards the end of mid-May to officially drop it. We're clearing up the last of the slots, and for those who might not who listening might not know what we're talking about. Me myself, DJ 5X and DJ Hypnotized are hosting a mixtape along with the real Freeway Ricky Ross, the original Freeway Ricky Ross. And we are accepting submissions. Slots at this time are going fast. They're going real fast. We actually have some individuals from Japan, London, and South Africa on this project now. Space Age, of course, definitely a member, I mean, an individual who I definitely wanted people to hear on this end. And if anybody wanted to know any more information on that or get the criteria of the submissions, you can either DM me. Once again, it's J Real, The Realist, Twitter, or you can email me at J Real, all one word, underscore, The Real J, the letter J, not J-A-Y, at yahoo.com. And I'll send you over the invoice of what the criteria is, and we'll go from there. But mid-May is when we're looking to drop it. We've already locked in Dub C to host the Resurrection 3. So be looking out for the submissions openings for that, too.
That's amazing, yeah. Dub C and The Real. And that's a legend right there, Dub C.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm a young independent artist, but there's no reason, and that's why me and Jay talk all the time, but there's no reason why any independent artist has to feel any different or lesser than any mainstream artist or on any level. I mean, I understand financially there might be a difference, but these mainstream artists, they're no different than you. They put on their pants one leg at a time. They enjoy making good music and listening to good music just like you do. So if you have what that individual likes or is willing to work with, and you're willing to network, there's no reason why you can't be an independent artist and be involved in certain things like this. You know, Jay, my track record run long. I have music with Nocturnal, Chino XL, G Malone, yeah. Schoolboy Q, Omar Gooden, yeah. Soon to come Grandmaster J, and the list goes on, and I'm an indie artist. And I'm not looking to sign no deal right now. I just enjoy making good music, and I enjoy being respected for being a real MC. So always keep your head up. Never think that because of you're in a certain pay rate or bracket that you can't reach out and touch somebody on that level, because people love good music. Good music affects people's hearts. Everybody's not just worried about how much money you have. A lot of people just want to hear good music.
Definitely. Yeah, I can personally attest to a lot of artists that I know personally that have done projects without any money involved for people, just for free. And I'm talking about mainstream artists, you know what I'm saying? From people like Styles P or Jadakiss, you know what I'm saying? To even Nas and a list of others, you know, that have done it. You know, and like you said, it's about, one, how you approach the situation is important, you know. Because it's the one thing I try to stress that is missing with a lot of people who are trying to get into business is carrying yourself professionally. If you present yourself in the right manner and you do things in the right manner, the sky's the limit. You know what I'm saying? You can't approach everybody in the same manner like you just came off the street. You know.
So,
I hit the wrong button.
I
hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. I'm over here trying to get a song to play, and that joint wouldn't play.
I understand. I didn't want to drag out the first question. What was your second one?
Oh, the second question, man. I was just gonna ask you, man. You know, do you you got the song? You know, Fly Strips is coming off of, you know, the new mixtape. It's the first song I'm putting out there off of the album I'm doing now. It's called East African Man. You know, but the song, be on the lookout for that Fly Scripts on there, and be on the lookout for all of the other wonderful artists that's going to be on the J Real mixtape as well. But the second question, man, I wanted to say is just, you know, do you have any questions for the man, the homie Genius, while we got him on the line?
Well, I definitely, it's not a universal question. I mean, it is kind of a universal question. I usually ask artists on your level, you know, this question all the time. What, out of all the things you've accomplished, all the heights you've reached and all the times people would tell you you wouldn't and you did, what kept you so humble? What kept you so in a mode to where you were persistent but humble at the same time? Well, I guess hungry and humble at the same time. What keeps that fire going? But keeps you submissive enough to be a humble individual as you are? Because I've checked you out, and I know I can tell, even though I haven't personally met you, I can say to myself, that cat, that's a humble cat, you know?
I mean, it's a lot of factors, you know, that kept me that way. I mean, from when I first started walking and looked out the window, and what I saw when I looked out the window, you know, made me... You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, Flatbush, you know what I'm saying? And at the time, it wasn't one of the best of neighborhoods, you know what I'm saying? And seeing the things I seen outside, I said to myself, that's not where I want to be, you know? And it's not the place, it's the mentality, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to be past that, you know? And the other thing is, you know, just never being complacent, you know, like even when I'm sitting still, I don't sit still. And I guess that's just a drive that in, you know, and having the parents that I had that one supported what, you know, I did, whatever endeavors I had, you know, my parents were supportive in that, which is important. A lot of times we don't have a support system, and that's what's missing with a lot of indie artists is they have a lot of talent, but no real support system surrounding them. And I don't mean the yes people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want 10 people around me to say, yes, that's hot, yes, that's hot, you know what I'm saying? Because everything you do is not going to be hot, you know what I'm saying? I love people who can be honest, you know, to me. If something's whack, it's whack, you know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
And that's one thing that a lot of times, you know, it changes things as well as money changes things, because you can... You know, just in being a DJ, I know many of DJs who, just for the money, will spin a whack record. You know what I'm saying? Me personally, I'm going to listen to it, and if I feel it, then I'm going to play it. It's not about money. You know what I'm saying? I care about the craft, you know, and that's something that a lot of people don't do, or to take time to, you know, really learn about the craft or even the history of it. How can you move forward when you don't even know where it comes from? You can ask the average artist, who's Cool Herc? They don't know who he is. You know, and that's one of the founding members of, you know, hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying they have to know him, but you should take an interest in something that you're doing. Don't just follow it and you don't know what it is. It's like becoming a Christian and not knowing what Christianity was founded on, when it was founded, you know, and what it's really about. You know, that just takes doing the research. Just like if you had a company, you had what's called your R&D, your research and development, you know, where you're actually researching things before doing them so that can have an ideal of what is to come, you know, and knowing the right directions and knowing what mistakes not to make.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, man. Oh, man, it's unfortunate, man. I wasn't even watching the clock, man. We done came up on the end of the show.
I'm sitting there
listening and being a fan. We done ran up to the end of the show, man. But, you know, go ahead and plug your info real quick, man, so, you know, people know where to find you at.
Well, y'all can reach me on Twitter at Genius, G-N-E-O-U-S. Y'all can get me on Facebook, Genius Music. Y'all can check out the website, djgenius.blogspot.com. You know, also make sure y'all follow Space Age J, a.k.a. J Biggs, and make sure y'all follow J Real, support what they're doing, support the Queen, Diva Mary Kay. Make sure y'all tune in, and I'm going to do the plugs for the show. You know what I'm saying? Frontline Fridays on Fridays, Saturdays, step your game up with Space Age J. Make sure y'all tune in. Support music and, you know, keep doing positive things.
Definitely.